Good morning.
Good morning.
Today we again follow the order in the bulletin. Our opening hymn this morning is hymn 791, All People That on Earth Do Dwell, hymn 791. Son and Holy Spirit, we come into your presence to seek your mercy, hear your word, and offer up to you our prayers and praises. Hear us for the sake of the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and his atoning sacrifice on the cross for our sins. Amen. Today for our psalm, we read Psalm 32, a psalm of David. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, my moistures turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place, thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Let us therefore confess our sins unto the Lord our God, and look to him for mercy and forgiveness for the sake of the plenteous redemption accomplished by Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us from all our iniquities. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in our thoughts, desires, words, and deeds. We therefore flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the sake of Jesus' holy life and his atoning sacrifice on the cross, I announce unto you the grace and mercy of God, and in the name and stead of Jesus Christ, our Savior, proclaim to you forgiveness for all your sins through faith in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We continue by singing hymn 587, I Know My Faith Is Founded.
By night and day to rob me.
I shall be unafraid. Abide with me, O Savior, a firmer faith bestow. And I shall bid defiance to every evil foe. In faith, Lord, let me serve you through persecution, grief, and pain. Should seek to overwhelm me, let me a steadfast trust retain, and then at my departure, Lord, take me home to your riches to inherit, as all you said was true. In life and death, Lord, keep me until your heaven I be, where I by your great mercy the end of faith attain.
I ask you to please rise for the reading of God's word. Our scripture lesson for today is recorded in St. John's Gospel in chapter 5, beginning at the 17th verse. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but he said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that he that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." You may be seated. Again, I ask you to bow your heads and join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit, that your Spirit would open up our hearts to understand your word. We pray your blessing upon the speaking, the hearing of your word, that we might be strengthened in our faith in the Lord Jesus and follow after him unto life everlasting. Amen. If you recall, last week we were in the first part of this chapter of St. John's Gospel, and we see that Jesus healed a man who had been 38 years in infirmity and waiting by the pool of Siloam for the water to be stirred. And then Jesus came and told him to rise and take up his bed and walk, and he did. And immediately he is confronted for carrying his bed on the Sabbath day. And then when they find out that Jesus is the one who told him to do so, they are persecuting Jesus and wanted to put him to death because he had done these things on the Sabbath. And that's where our text for today continues, when the Jews are confronting Jesus and wanting to kill him because he had broken the Sabbath day commandment according to their understanding. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." And so Jesus' answer to them is, you know, God the Father works on the Sabbath, and I work. And if you think about God, even though he rested from his work of creating on the seventh day, he created everything in 6 days and rested on the seventh, he still continues to work, and that he preserves all things. He keeps everything going, all continues to work and to function according to his word. And so Jesus says, you know, my Father works and I work. And what if God did not work on the Sabbath day or on Sunday? You know, if he took off one day a week, what would happen? Who would hear our prayers? Who would help us and watch over us? Who would keep this world going? And of course, God works on the Sabbath, and he does things for our good in order to sustain this world and our lives and our faith, even on the Sabbath day. And so Jesus said, you know, my Father works hitherto, you know, all along this time, he continues to work, and I work. Didn't go over very well with Jesus' hearers. It says, therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. One thing that I want you to understand or see from this passage is that the Jews understood that if Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, he was claiming to be equal with God. This whole idea that, you know, began around the time of Arius and has continued to trouble the church down through the ages, even today, that somehow Jesus, the Son of God, is less than God, or as we see in some of the cults that are out there, you know, some say that Jesus is just a Son of God and not the only begotten Son of God, or that he was, you know, Arius taught that Jesus was created by God the Father and was therefore less than God the Father. This has been around for a long time, continues to trouble the church, but the Jews understood very well that by Jesus calling God his Father, he was claiming to be God and equal to the Father. And for that reason, they also wanted to kill him. They regarded it as blasphemy to say this, even though it wasn't blasphemy because Jesus' words were true. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, in the Greek it is amen, amen, from which we get the word amen today, which means truly, truly. And it's a way, when verily, verily is there, or amen, amen is there, it's a way to really emphasize the truthfulness of what Jesus is about to say. It's like, you know, listen up, here's the truth. You need to listen to this, you need to understand this. Well, so verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. And so Jesus said that as the Son, he does nothing of himself, but he does what the Father does. It shows the unity, the communion, the oneness between the Father and the Son. And of course, we can include the Holy Spirit in this as well, because Jesus does the will of God the Father. What God the Father is doing, Jesus does as the Son of God. This might also teach us something as children of God, that how we should be living, what we should be doing is like our Father in heaven. We seek to be like Jesus. We seek to be like our God. Not in the sense that we are trying to be God, but in the sense that we do the work that he would have us do, and not, you know, all that we desire to do. Jesus explains further, "For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel." And so Jesus speaks of the love of the Father for the Son, and the fact that the Father, in this perfect communion, shows to Jesus, the Son of God, all that the Father does. And he says, "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them," gives them life, "even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." Quickeneth is a present active tense of the word to give life. In other words, he is the one who gives life. We see this in Genesis 2, verse 7, when God formed Adam of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. And so Jesus gave life to Adam, and it's not just physical life, but it was spiritual life, because Adam was created in the image of God. He had a perfect knowledge of God and his will, and he was holy and righteous. He sought to do God's will. And when God created Eve from the rib of Adam, she too was in the image of God, given life, not just physical, but spiritual. God is the one who creates and gives life to each one of us in our mother's womb. Psalm 139 describes how God forms each of us in our mother's womb, and how his works are wonderful, how we are wonderfully made. And it is an amazing thing how God forms human life. And so God is the one who gives life. And Jesus says, you know, as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, gives life, talking about raising up people from spiritual darkness and death to spiritual life and light, so the Son raises people up from spiritual darkness and death to give them the light of the gospel and life through faith in God and his word. He explains, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him." Which is, Jesus, of course, is pointing out the truth that he is going to be the judge on the last day. All judgment is committed into his hands. This is described in Psalm 2. It's also described in the book of Acts and numerous places in the Bible where it speaks about standing before the throne of Christ and being judged by Christ. But notice here that Jesus says that God has done this in order that all men would honor the Son even as they honor the Father. And if somebody doesn't honor the Son, they do not honor God the Father. Which means that all those religions who claim to worship the true God, you know, whether they call him by the name God or Allah, if they do not honor Jesus, the Son, as God himself in the flesh, they are not honoring and worshiping the true God. And so those of the Jewish faith, you know, those of the Islamic faith, and I guess we could include the cults who do not believe that Jesus is equal with the Father, even some that claim to be Christian that do not claim that Jesus is equal to the Father. According to Jesus' own words, if they do not honor the Son, They're not honoring the Father who sent him. So they don't know and honor the true God. And Jesus' words are directed to his hearers. If they don't recognize Jesus as God the Son and hear his word, they're not honoring and recognizing the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God whom they claim to worship. And so Jesus is pointing out that their whole religion becomes idolatry, because if you don't honor the Son, you don't honor the Father. Verse 24, I think, is such a comforting verse, and I kind of chose to go through this verse by verse because there's so many things here. Jesus says, verily, verily again, or amen, amen, and, you know, really drawing attention to this verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So what is Jesus saying? Those who hear his word, those who hear his message, calling upon all to repent and to trust in him for forgiveness and life, those who believe on the one who sent him, those who believe on the Father who sent Jesus into the world to take our place under the law, to suffer and die for our sins and rise again, as he says, they have everlasting life. Jesus says the same thing in John chapter 3 when he was speaking to Nicodemus, when he was talking to Nicodemus about being born again. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then he pointed out in verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so what Jesus is saying here is those who trust in him, those who believe in him as the Son of God sent by the Father into the world to be their Savior, they have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And so we were dead spiritually, dead to God. But when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are raised to life, and we have everlasting life. We're not going to be condemned. I find that very comforting, because I can think of all these things that God could condemn me for on the last day. To know that when I trust in Jesus and his cross, none of that's going to be brought up against me on the last day. It's all forgiven because Jesus paid the price for my sins and he rose again. And when I trust in Jesus, it's all been punished there. It doesn't have to be dealt with on the last day. So when we trust in Jesus, we have everlasting life. We're not going to be condemned. We have passed from death to life. We're now alive to God and will live forever in communion with God through faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Jesus goes on to explain this further. Again, another verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And many look at this and they immediately think, oh, we're talking about the last day and the resurrection. But no, we're not. Because Jesus says the hour is coming and now is. It's already here. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And notice it doesn't say everybody, but those who hear shall live. Jesus, the Son of God, calls out to us through the word of God, whether it's Jesus himself speaking the words or whether it is his apostles and disciples are reading the Bible or your pastor proclaiming to you the word of God. Those who hear that word calling you to repent and trust in Jesus and what he did for you on that cross, those who hear that word and believe are raised up to spiritual life. And that's what Jesus is talking about here in Verse 25, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Those who are spiritually dead are going to hear Jesus calling to them through his word. And those who hear shall live. They're brought to faith in Jesus and they're made alive spiritually. And they have the blessings of eternal life awaiting them. He goes on to explain further, For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. You know, as the Father was able to bring people to faith, like he did with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David, and other Old Testament saints, brought them to faith through the promises of his word, so also Jesus has that power through his word to bring people to faith, to raise them up from spiritual darkness and death to life. You know, there's many passages that we could look at. I think of Ephesians chapter 2, certainly a good example of this, where it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, which is our way of life, in times past, in the lust or the desires of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened or made us alive together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." And so God, through the preaching of his word, remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. God, through his word, Jesus, through his word, calls people who are dead in their trespasses and sins to faith and gives them life. He quickens them, gives them life through his word. And Jesus says, "And he hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." And of course, this is spoken of in the Old Testament in Daniel chapter 7 about the Son of Man coming. It's described in Psalm 2 how the Son of Man, or the Anointed One, the Christ, will judge the nations. And so Jesus says that this authority has been given to him by the Father as well. This might have been quite an earful for his hearers to have Jesus explain that his working on the Sabbath is because God the Father works on the Sabbath. That he continues to preach the word, you know, as God the Father brings people to faith through his word, so Jesus brings people to faith and gives life through his word. If you think of Nicodemus, what's the first thing that Jesus told him? You need to be born again. You need to be born from above. Your earthly birth is not going to save you. Being born a descendant of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob is not going to save you. You need to be born again, born of water and the Spirit. And then he explains further how that relates to placing your faith in Jesus and his cross and looking to Jesus. And then you have life. Those who trust in Jesus have life, and those who do not, do not. And so Jesus says, continuing on here, verse 28, "Marvel not at this." In other words, don't be amazed at this. "For the hour is coming." Now we're talking about something that is coming in the future. "In the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Now, the Jews believed in the judgment of God. And he says, so don't be amazed at this, that the hour is coming when Not only will he be raising people to spiritual life through his word, but the hour is coming when he's going to call forth all the dead out of their graves, and he's going to judge. And those who believe and through faith in Jesus and live for him, they're going to receive eternal life. Those who reject him and do not serve God because they do not trust in Christ are going to be condemned. And so don't be amazed that Jesus has the power to give life, because he's going to raise up all the dead on the last day, and he's going to carry out the judgment. And then he says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. In other words, Jesus doesn't just go off out on his own, but he judges according to the will of God the Father. Again, meaning those who trust in him will have life. Those who reject him and continue in rebellion against God will be condemned. So he says, my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. And so Jesus testifies to his hearers, who are ready to condemn him for breaking the Sabbath law in their eyes, and then ready to condemn him because he claims to be the Son of God, that he is indeed the Son of God, and he has power to bring them life. If they hear his word, they will come to faith in him. But this is, again, it's God's working, it's his working. We can't bring anybody to faith in Christ, nor could they. We can't even will to be a believer. It is God's gracious working through the word. So all of this, again, points to the deity of Christ and to the fact that he is the one who not only suffered and died on the cross and paid the price for our sins and provided a way of salvation, but he is the one who, working through his word, raises us up from spiritual death and darkness and brings us to faith in him so that we have life and the promise of eternal life with him in heaven. God grant that we hear Jesus' voice and hear his words, that he raises up to life and keep us trusting in him, so that on the last day, when the shout goes out and all who have ever lived come out of their graves, including us if we're not alive and remaining at that time, that we are found trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and are raised up to life eternal. God grant that to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. We continue our worship by bringing forward our offerings. Again, I invite you to stand and join me in prayer. Merciful Father, for the sake of the shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, forgive us for failing to walk by faith in the promises of your word. Move us to read and study our Bibles regularly, and to come before you with our petitions and praises.
Keep us from being overcome by our sinful inclinations, and preserve us in the true and saving faith unto life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. O Christ Jesus, eternal Son of God and our Savior, you gave your life for ours when you died on the cross and made atonement for our sins. Bless the work of our pastor and of our congregation, and of faithful pastors, missionaries, and congregations everywhere, so that your life-giving word might be proclaimed among us and among the peoples of the world, and those who hear might repent of their sins and look to you and your cross for pardon and forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy. O Holy Spirit, do not forsake us because of our weakness and disobedience to your word. Be patient with us and move us to continually repent of our sins and look in faith to our Savior for mercy. Teach us from your word, strengthen and keep us in the true and saving faith. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
O loving and merciful God, our nation and our people are living in darkness and under your wrath and judgment. Open the eyes and ears of our people and our rulers, that they might see and hear the truth of your word, repent of their evil deeds, and fall down at the feet of Jesus, pleading for pardon and forgiveness, and then seeking to walk in your ways, that your judgment may be turned away, and your eternal wrath against us be averted. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our
prayer. O healer and preserver of our bodies and souls, as you have promised, we ask you to provide for all our needs and to preserve us from all harm and danger and all evil. We lift up to you those among us who are afflicted. We remember especially today John and Linda, Joyce, Carl, Harley, John and Karen, and all others we name in our hearts. Have mercy upon us, grant healing to the sick, comfort to the oppressed, and strength for all to endure the troubles and afflictions of this life in the hope of everlasting glory, for the sake of Christ Jesus, our Savior. Lord, in your mercy. We join also in the prayer which our Lord Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. We continue by singing hymn number 619, Thy Body Given for Me, O Savior. Thank you. Can I ask you to please stand? I read again the words of institution from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. And again, I invite you to come forward. Lord bless you and keep you in his baptismal grace. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. And the Lord bless you and keep you in his baptismal grace. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Now may this holy body and precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you for Jesus' sake. O Lord Jesus Christ, Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, we thank you for fulfilling all righteousness in our stead, and then taking upon yourself the guilt and punishment for all our sins, and making full atonement for us by your perfect sacrifice on the cross. And we thank and praise you for giving us to partake of your one holy sacrifice, that we might also partake of the blessings you won for us by your death, and have made sure to us by your glorious resurrection. Strengthen and keep us in the true and saving faith, and move us to live our lives for you while we await your glorious return and the joys of your everlasting kingdom. Amen. Receive now the benediction of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. You may be seated. We close by singing hymn 917, Savior, again to thy dear name be raised.
Again, a welcome to all of you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't have any announcements today. Does anybody else have any?
I just want to thank Lonnie and Matt. You guys do such a wonderful job. Thank you so much. The way you just blend in that guitar is just amazing. Love it.
So, appreciate that, Matt. Anything else this morning? Lee, got any announcements this morning? Nope. Okay. He always surprises me. When I don't expect one, he's got one. And when I do, nope, not today. So God's richest blessings to you, and thank you.